I wanted to share that with you. Real people. People that you guys rub shoulders with. Every one of those people are members in our congregation. And with real stories. And I thought that would speak volumes above what I could share with you on a personal level of maybe my struggles with learning generosity and giving and to be able to see what some of these people are going through and very similar things that you go through. Having to make those decisions, having to look at the things and weigh them out and say, okay, am I going to trust in God or am I going to trust in my money? And just great examples of what it takes to live rich. Living rich, because we are rich. We should live rich. And that's what we learned. And they brought it back up in the video that's good news that we're rich, because there's a lot of things that we can do because we're rich. We can go places. We got more opportunities. We have more that we could be more generous with. But it's also bad news that we're rich. It's bad news because there's a larger responsibility that's placed on us as rich people. We have a responsibility to be good managers, to be good stewards with the blessings that God has given us. We have to be conscious of that. And so we have to act rich. We have to learn how to act rich. And that involves this idea of being responsible, of being responsible stewards of what God's blessed us with. You know, I've heard a term used before, and I believe that most of us have probably heard it, the term that says money changes people. You ever heard that term? Am I alone? And you hear that term, and maybe some of you have used that term before to talk about someone else, and saying that money changes people, and a very true statement, but how often do you hear that in the first person? It's always money changes people. Money changes those other people. It changes those people. We rarely say money changes me. Somehow we think we're immune to this change. Everyone else can be changed by money. But we don't normally say money changes me. But money does change us. I believe that's a fact. Money changes us, and it can change us for the bad. If we're not disciplined with how we handle money, with our attitude towards money, with the grasp that money has on our heart, on our life, if we're not disciplined in those things, money can take us over. And money can change us. We can become greedy. We can become selfish. However, if you're a kingdom-minded person, and God has got your full attention, and Jesus has got your heart, and you have an understanding that all of the riches, all of the wealth that you have, that's a blessing from God. That changes you. That takes you to a very humble place, realizing, wow, God gave all this to me. That takes you to a place of gratitude, a place where you praise God and you lift up prayers and songs of thanksgiving because of all that He has given to you. Yeah, money changes people. It can change you for the bad. It can change you for the good. You know, as we've been looking through this series talking about money, today we're going to kind of package it all up, box it up, and we're going to finish it up today. And there's one thing that we need to look at before we finish this subject. One thing that's very important to look at on the subject of money and in regards to how God uses money with us. God uses money to test us. He does. He uses money to test you. He uses money to test me. He uses money to test every one of us. And some of you are thinking, now this guy's gone off the deep end. You know, if you don't believe me, let's look at Scripture. Jesus Himself tells us this. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 11. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Now, just in case Jesus was too subtle, He wants to make sure we understand I'm talking about worldly wealth. Worldly riches. Look at this next sentence. He says, so if you've not been trustworthy in handling what?
Worldly
wealth. He speaks it very plain. If you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with what? True riches. True riches. God is testing us with our wealth. As God blesses you, and He has made every one of us rich, as we learned in the first message in this series. We are rich. And we're rich because God has made us rich. And now we see kind of a secondary piece of that God has made us rich because He's testing us. He's testing our hearts. He's testing our trust. He's testing our faith. He's testing our allegiance. He's testing our devotion to Him. God is testing us because if we can handle these material blessings, if we can handle these financial blessings, this blessing of wealth, this blessing of being rich, if we can handle that, the small things, then we're proving ourselves to God that we can handle larger blessings, blessings that aren't financial. We're talking spiritual blessings, blessings of the heavenly sort, things that go far beyond your bank accounts. Far beyond your material possessions. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. God wants to see if we're going to obey His commands, His wishes, when it comes to something as simple as worldly wealth. As simple as what we were talking about last week, the tithe. That is something that we bring to God. We return to Him. It's His request, it's His command that we bring that. If we are faithful with that, we're proving to God that we can be trusted with larger things. We're telling Him, I will obey you at my sacrifice. I will lay down me for you. Will you pass the test? Will you pass the test? He tests us. Will you pass the test of prosperity? The test of prosperity. Now, we know how to fail the test of prosperity. That's something we see a lot. Now, how do you pass the test of prosperity? That's a little foreign, so we're gonna come back to that. I'd like to go to familiar area. Something that we are all familiar with. Let's look at how to fail the test of prosperity. I want you to turn with me over to Luke chapter 12. In your Bibles, go on and pull your Bible. If you didn't bring one with you, go on and pull one from the little wooden pocket there in front of you. Luke chapter 12. Luke is the third book in your New Testament. So you find Matthew, go Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you're in John, someone's out there thinking, whoa, how did he know I was in John? Well, if you're that guy, you need to turn back one book. All right? Turn back one book. Luke is nestled right there in between Mark and John. Luke chapter 12, Jesus shares a story that deals with greed. Verse 16, he says, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Right? The American way. I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. So this guy's living the American dream, isn't he? And the American dream, you have a lot. We're told this guy was a rich man to begin with. You have a lot, you get more. That's capitalism, isn't it? At its best. You have a lot, you get more. You get more, what's the next step? You need to get more. That's what we call progress in America. That's what a lot of us view as success. We see someone that takes something that's a lot and they move from a lot to something that's more. We say, that's successful. That person is passing the test of prosperity. Why? Because they're prosperous. Wrong. The test of prosperity has nothing to do with the amount of things that you have accumulated. The test of prosperity is what is the condition of your heart in the midst of those things you've accumulated? What are the desires you have to do with those things that you now have, that you now have been blessed with? What is the attitude you have while managing these things that have been given to you? Look what God says to this guy. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." God said, "You failed. You failed, rich man. You failed the test." And if we want to learn how to fail the test of prosperity, then we can do what this guy did. And what this guy did, and here's how you fail the test of prosperity. You're going to write this down because you need to know what you don't need to do. Because sometimes if you don't know what you don't need to do, you end up doing it and then you find out later, "Oh, I didn't need to do that." So let's write that down right here in church where you're safe and you're sitting down and you're not getting into trouble. Here's what you want to do if you want to fail the test. You believe that more is always for me. More is always for me. That's how this guy was living. He said, "I've got a whole lot more. It's for me." He didn't say, "I've got more. Maybe I should take what I need and then I can give some to those who don't have." No, his thought was, "I have more. I need a bigger place to put it. I need to store this up for me." And why did he want to do that? So he could live a comfy lifestyle. He wanted to do it for himself. That's why Jesus uses this story to illustrate greed. That's not living rich. That's living selfishly. That's living greedily. Is that a word? Greedily? Am I legal? All right. That'll pass. What did this guy do for a living? He was a farmer. This guy was a farmer. Now, my mom grew up on a tobacco farm. I know we've got some people here that came from rural areas. How many of you guys grew up on a farm, worked on a farm, have a farm now? That's tough work, isn't it? I wouldn't know. I've got guitarist hands. All right, preacher hands, I guess. My mom grew up on a tobacco farm, and from what I understand, that is tough work. This guy was a farmer. It'd be easy for him to look at all of his wealth and say, "I worked hard for my wealth. I sweated for that wealth. I've got blisters on my hands." And those blisters have resulted in that wealth. But really, his wealth did not come from him, not ultimately. He put in some work, but his wealth came from God. Who left the seeds in last year's harvest? He didn't make the seeds. He didn't sit there in some laboratory and make up these seeds. God made the seeds. Who made the soil? Who made the soil to put the seeds in? God made the soil. Who made the rain fall down? Who made the sun shine? Who made the harvest grow? All of that was God. God was the provider of his wealth. God provided him for his wealth. And not only did God make him rich, at the beginning of the story, he was a rich man. So God had already made him rich. God had already blessed him and made him rich. God made him richer. Are you catching that? God made him rich. God made him richer. God wasn't angry because he was rich. God wasn't angry because he was richer. That was God's doing. That was God's will for him. God wasn't angry because of those things. God was angry because of the attitude he had taken towards his riches. He was angry because this man did not know how to live rich. Not the way that God had intended rich people to live. Now the parallel here, it's very easy for us to make. Whatever you do for a living. Some of you might say, "I work hard. I work long hours. Some of you might work outside and you say, you know, it's cold outside. That's tough work. I earn my money. I earn my keep. Some of you have gone to school for years and you say, you know, all those years, these plaques I got on my wall, I've worked hard and my paycheck is my paycheck. My riches are my riches. My wealth I have made for myself. You know, if you work with your hands, who made your hands? Who thought your hands up? Who created your hands? God made your hands. If you're up on your feet all day long, who made your feet? Who made your legs? That was God. You know, if you sit in a desk chair all day long, who made your cushy behind to sit on? God. And God made your fingers, and he made oxygen in the air, and he made it so that our bodies would take that in, and it would get into our blood system and circulate throughout our bodies. And he made us to where we could think, to where we could create. And beyond that, he made you, you. He made everything that makes you, you, he did. Things that you can do that other people aren't as good at, God did that in you. God gave you these things, so when you look at your wealth and your riches, you can't say, you did that for yourself. Those riches came from what God has made in you. That wealth is from God. When God gives us more, as he did the farmer in the story, how do we handle it? Do we look at all that and we gather it up for ourselves and we get into what we talked about last week, that survival mindset? It's not really living. It's torture. You're prisoned by this idea. I got to survive. And what do you do in that situation? You grab all this stuff and you store it away because you think, this is where I'm secure. This is what makes me feel safe. When I've got all my stuff, when I've got a stack in the bank, when I've got material possessions that tell me that I'm safe and secure. That's survival. That's animal kingdom, not God's kingdom. When you start thinking with a God's kingdom mindset, you stop thinking as the world does. And you start thinking as God wants you to think. And you start living rich as God has intended you to live rich. And that's how you pass the test of prosperity. So let's look at how to pass the test of prosperity. How to pass the test of prosperity. Now, for a few weeks, the first couple weeks in the series, we looked at a passage of scripture from Timothy. Last week, we took a break from it. This week, we're going to return back to it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19. Command those who are rich. Who's that talking to? Us, because we are rich. We know that now. 4 weeks ago, we looked at these passages and we said, you know, that's a great passage for a rich person, but it doesn't do anything for me. Now we have to look at these passages and say, this verse is talking to me. I'm the rich man. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do what? Do good. To be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is what? Truly life. So there's life, there's survival, and there's a different kind of life. There's a kind of life where you experience freedom, a kind of life where the stress isn't killing you. There's a life, a kingdom life, a kingdom mindset that is true life, that is truly life. And that's how you live rich. That's how you pass the test of prosperity. Finding that true life. Some of you have really bit into this series. You've really gotten into it and you've really realized, you know what, I am rich. You look at that chart, you listen to people like Alan Burke, who's been to multiple countries on mission trips, and you realize, you know, I am rich. I didn't know I was rich before, but I am rich. The Bible was written to all peoples and all times and all over the world. And when you look at all the people that have read the Bible, we are the rich people reading the Bible. We are rich. Some of you can now look in a mirror and say, I'm looking at a rich man. You couldn't do that 4 weeks ago. Some of you have realized that you've got a love affair going on with money. You've realized that you are in love with money and that you can't love both God and money. You got to pick one or the other. And you've learned, you know, I need to kick that girlfriend to the curb. I need to say, goodbye so long, get out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. You're nothing but heartbreak. And you need to get rid of her because you have been trusting in money. You have been loving money. And it's time to break those chains. And maybe you're there and you're saying, you know, I want to feel rich for a change. Because when I'm in love with money, I'm not feeling rich because money's deceitful. You feel rich when you're loving and you're trusting the provider, not what has been provided. When you're loving and trusting God, that's when you feel rich. That's when you experience the freedom of being able to realize, I am rich. A lot of us don't feel rich, and so we chase after things to be rich so that we can act rich and live rich. And the whole time we're doing that, we have not realized we are rich because we don't feel rich, because rich is deceptive. And you want freedom from that. And the freedom that you experience through that is just to get rid of that old girlfriend. And some of you have done that during this series. Some of you have made that separation and made that decision. Some of you have decided, hey, I want to try this generous thing out. I want to try generosity out. I want to try doing this thing that's called a tithe. I want to bring it into God. You know, listen to these people in the videos. Those are real stories, and those are just portions of their stories. Those are real people. And I hear stories like that a lot of how people, they started taking God at his word. They took that Malachi 3:10 verse and they challenged God on it. They said, all right, God, I'm calling you out on your word. And so they take God out on his challenge and God follows through. God takes care of them. I know he has me. I don't know how much good it does for a preacher to share his stories about my struggles with tithing and the time when I finally jumped into that. A lot of you probably expect, well, I thought he got paid to tithe. Is that part of his job description? You'll preach 45 sermons a year, you will tithe at least 10% of your paycheck. I can show you my job description. It's not in there. That's a choice. And yes, it was a tough choice getting started. But I've learned how to live rich. And I want to share that. I want to share that with you. So how do we live rich? This is tough. And this information I want to share with you, some of you, you're not going to take it. And that's heartbreaking for me. Some of you, it's just going to bypass your brain. It's going to bypass your ears. And you're going to walk out of here unchanged. You're going to walk out of here the same person you were that you came in. You're going to walk out of here with the same shackles on your feet. You're going to walk out of here in the same prison of stress and survival mode. You're going to leave unchanged. And what I'm about to say is going to fall on deaf ears. But there are some of you. There are some of you that today is going to be a life-changing day. That today will be a day that you'll look back in your history and you'll say, you know, that day, my life changed from that day forward. My life was different from that day forward. And that's because you learned how to pass the test of prosperity. You want to know how to pass the test of prosperity? Here it is. You want to write this down. You want to take this home with you. And that is that we are going to create margin and we're going to ask God to use it. It's that simple. It's really simple advice, but it is life-changing. Those of you who have experienced that, you know that is life-changing. Margin. You take margin, you create some space. In our society, in our lives, everything's just so crammed in there. We got crammed schedules. You go to Acts chapter 8 and look at Philip. I encourage you to read that story today. Philip had margin in his time. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to go where God asked him to go. He would have said, sorry, God, it doesn't fit into my schedule. You don't see him say that. In fact, you look at other Bible characters throughout the Bible. There was margin, and it was there for God to use. They said, here's a space of my life, and it is free. Nothing is in there. This is not allocated to anything but you, God. We need to build that margin. And when we're looking at our finances, when we're looking at wealth and our riches, we're living, our finances are just pushed right up against our lifestyle. Our lifestyle, rather, is pushed up against our finances. When you get a raise, you push that up again. I shared this in a sermon series called Living in the Red. It's on the website. Check that out. Review that. And it describes that idea of affluenza. So what you need to do, if you want to gain some margin, is you got one or two choices. One of two choices. Either one, you get a raise and you don't change your lifestyle. You keep your lifestyle here. See, there's margin. There's space to look around in there. And you say, God, this is your space. Use it. Oh my goodness. What God will do with that when there's room to work in your life. Now that's something that we understand. We like raises. We like coming in and saying, oh, I get a raise. Yeah. We understand that. Now this other way that we can have margin in our life, you're not going to understand me. It's going to sound like I just broke into speaking in tongues here in a minute, all right? Some of you guys are going to think I'm speaking a foreign language, okay? And I'll try and be slow here. The other way that you can do it is you can spend less. That's English. I know you just didn't understand me, but I'm speaking plain English. Let me spend less. Does that help? You spend less. Now, that's not something that we're very familiar with, so let me unpack this. Let me take a few minutes. We're starting to get some tight on time. Let me unpack this for you. You spend less. Okay. Let me unpack it further. Okay. Let me make this more simple for you. In order to spend less, here's what you do. You spend less. And that's how you create margin in your life. Proverbs 21:20 says that in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. When a foolish man gets more, he just consumes it. When a foolish man gets more, he takes it all for himself. When a foolish man gets more, he builds bigger barns. When a foolish man gets more, he says, this is all for me. When a foolish man gets more, he fails the test of prosperity. When a wise man gets more, he says, this is margin. This is margin. Stop getting suckered into things that you don't need. Some of those things that you don't need, that you think you need, didn't even exist 5 or 10 years ago. And people live just fine without them. But you need them. Say this with me one last time. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. But I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. Because I have more, I will give more. We're adding just a teeny little bit today to finish this up. And do more. Because when you add margin in your life and you say, God, I want to give you space to work. I want to give you space. I want to say, here, God, here's space and it's yours. God is going to do more with you. You are going to be more active in the kingdom. You're going to be able to watch God work more. Some of you are saying, I just don't see God working in my life. It's because you're living with your lifestyle smacked up against your income. You're living with your 24 hours a day just jam-packed in there. You have no margin. God's looking at you and saying, I want to use you, but you're not giving me any space. I tell you what, you give God margin, you are going to do more for the kingdom. If we have a church full of people that listen to this wisdom and pass the test of prosperity, this church is going to do more for the kingdom. I want to see that. I don't want to just hear amens. I enjoy the encouragement, but I want to see it. So I'm challenging you today. Pass the test of prosperity. Quit looking at more for me and look at more for margin.